I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Some amazing human on this earth plane. I am so grateful that you are here. Just wanted to take a second and say, if you click like or hit subscribe, it helps this podcast continue. I want you to live the fullest expression of your experience in life, and you can find so much more by visiting beyoufindhappy.com. There you'll find Empowered, my motivational journal for women, links to all of the various books, and so much more. Thank you for being you.
Hey there, Eric. Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. I'm kind of excited because, you know, you're going to have a different vibe as a guest on this show with your background. But we're also going to talk about stuff that just totally aligns with everything that this podcast is about. So could you give the listeners a little backstory? I mean, you're doing so much stuff in the amazing world as an active combat vet and all of that. Can you share a little bit about your backstory?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here, and I want to thank you for having me. And absolutely, yes, I will do that. I started off, at a high school, wondering what everybody, does, and I kind of was in limbo for about a year and a half. 9/11 kicked off. I was one of those vets that. You're one of those guys that was super patriarch. I was like, sign me up. I want to go. Joined the Navy, was one of the first. One of the first four deployed veterans out there before the actual war kicked off. I was part of CAG 5 out there. Did 10 years in the military, 7 tours between Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and Northern Dawn. And then after that, I got out, got a job as a program director out in the middle of the desert called China Lake, California. Started going to school, got my bachelor's degree. I'm about one class away from my master's degree, my MBA. Started a company called Veterans Disability Help in 2013-14 as a project for a marketing class. And I got,
Whoops. Right? Funny how life channels you in a direction, isn't it?
Right. The project, it was a marketing class. I was in my sophomore year of my undergrad degree. And they said, create a fictitious company, see how many leads you can get on Facebook. Were people didn't get any, some got one or two. I came in with like 49. And I thought I was doing bad, right? And guys, like the teacher, I remember, he's like, you have a winner. He's like, stick with this. So I ended up calling every lead I got back, trying to help them because I knew I could help them with their VA disability. I had gone through the same process myself, and I noticed all the objections I was getting at the front. I'm like, well, you're wrong. Went to many places over a 6-month period, law firms like the DAV, the actual VA, regional offices, VFW, stuff like that. Nobody could really answer my question to my satisfaction. I was a parachute rigger, and I worked with special forces in the military, so my attention to detail is very, very high. I didn't believe someone where I have a question, I do research. That's what we were taught in the military. So I actually bought the law and was reading the law. And when I finally gave up on the system, I was at the regional office. I asked the question. The lady told me the answer that I knew she was going to give me. I told her she was wrong, and then she said, prove it. And I went in my bag, and I brought out the law. I had the page marked, and I had the answer highlighted. I was like, here you go. Here's your law that you just told me. Do you realize you're breaking the law? And she's like, well, this is just what we were trained. I'm like, you've never even looked at this, have you, right? And she's like, this is just what we were trained. So I was like, okay, I've lost my faith, right? Got out, started helping, and I got myself the max first, did everything opposite of what they were telling me to do, figured that out on my own, got the max I could get for VA disability. Then while I was working as a program director, as a contractor on base. So I was working with everybody I worked with was veterans or active duty military. So I started talking to them. They're like, help me, help me, help me. That's when I just started turning it into a business, and I started making calls, and we went from 2015, we got incorporated. It was me, myself, and I. And today we have 24 in-house employees, a full executive team. We have I have a full-time executive assistant, a full-time PR director, and we have 20 people taking 3 to 5 calls a day with veterans, helping with their VA disability, and basically doing the same thing, but just a refined process over the last 6 years.
Wow. And you know, one of the things that I was just thinking about as you were talking is a lot of times I think people see success and, you know, they don't realize that you went A to Z to get that success, or, you know, A queued back to B to, you know, I think sometimes they don't see all of the failures and hardships and all of that stuff. And they just think, wow, that person's nailing it. That person's achieved it. They've, you know, and it is really true testament that you kept sticking with it and sticking with it and
Yes,
going
ma'am.
down different rabbit holes.
Well, one of those important things is sticking with it. You know, a lot of people quit. I was actually blessed enough, when I was first starting out, after I got incorporated and first starting out as an entrepreneur, I was blessed to go to events, and I went to this event called Secret Knock, and the owner of the event, very high-end entrepreneur, very, very well known in the entrepreneurial world. And I just kind of introduced myself to him. This was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And this guy's the modern day Napoleon Hill, Greg Reed. You know, we call each other family now, but he kind of, we have so much things in common. And he just kind of looked at me, and for some reason or another, he took me under his wing and mentored me. And I kind of bought into his mastermind. I went on the 2 year round world trek where we interviewed people from anywhere from seven, worth seven, eight, nine, 10 figures, and saying, how did you do it? How did you get to success? And the book is actually called Wealth Hack. It's an amazing book. And so with all that and learning over the last years and having the right mentorship, when I did want to give up in my business, and there were many times, there was a time where I was broke. We were $400,000 in debt. My CEO
Ooh.
was embezzling money. And
Oh.
I'm like, Greg, I called him up. I'm like, I just found all these problems. All my agents had like three sales agents. I'm like, all my agents just walked out. He said, that's the best thing that could have happened to you. And I'm like, what is this man talking about? But he knows what he's doing. So he's like, just work through the problem. And I did. And this is you, once you, if you have a problem, it's any problem in life, you work through it. There's always going to be light at the end of the tunnel. It's always going to get better as long as you don't give up and run the opposite way.
You know, I think we can tap into a little bit here your experience as a vet to help people understand this. I know that I'm, you know, going through some things in my life right now that are re requiring a lot of resiliency, a lot of strength, tapping into the depths of my soul. I'm really curious, how do you do that out in the field? How have you learned to, you know,
So,
continue to persevere?
military, you can't quit, right? There's no quitting. If you quit, like you get sent to the brig, and you have to stay there. And so when you're deployed, right, they
Wait,
feed
wait,
you to
wait, wait,
spend
wait,
time.
wait. When you say you get sent to the brig, what do you mean? Is that
It's
like a
like
real thing?
yeah, that's a
I
real
mean, I
thing.
used to
So
go to a
like,
bar in San Diego called the Brigantine.
no, this is think jail, but you have no rights and you have no calls,
You've
right?
got to be
So
kidding
if you
me. I didn't even know
no.
that's a thing.
No, that's 100% a thing. So in the military, right, if you're on deployment, you're working, you don't get any days off, you're working shifts. Sometimes they're 12 hours on, 12 hours off. Sometimes they're 18 on, 6 off, right? And that means when you're off, you get rest, you try to sleep, you do whatever, you call home. But if you like, there's no quit. You're programmed to be okay to die, right? You have to be okay to die. You have to still do that. And anyone you talk to in the military, they're like, yep, I'm happy to die today. Let me go do my job. You know, I'm scared shitless, but if I have to die, I'll die. If I have to do the job, I have to do the job no matter what it takes. And so when I was going through the entrepreneurship, I looked at it. I'm like, I'm just on a deployment. I'm just on a deployment. I'm just on a deployment. I just have a fancy instead of a small rack or, you know, a small shelter. I have a nice house to go home to. I have this to go home to. And so it's just keeping those little aspects, you know, judging from what I went through before to now and being able to push forward.
So one of the things that you were saying that really struck me is, oh shit, I knew I was going to forget it too. Okay, well, so let's go into this for just a sec, and it's a bit of a tangent, but the idea is, I really feel like as Americans specifically, we have become, and for lack of better term, we've really become babies about
Physiologicalized.
everything. Like, we're just so sensitive and so like, oh, that hurts my feelings. I'm not trying to be harsh, but literally, we have
No.
Americans that are going to defend our country that literally wake up every day and say, I'm willing to die today. I don't
And
know very
okay to
many
die today.
people in my life that would even do that. Like, literally, I mean, it just goes to show. I feel like we've just weakened our society, and we could even
Absolutely.
get into the fact that I really feel that we have weakened our men. I'm not talking about like, masochism, whatever, toxic patriarchy, not talking about that. But men need women who can hold space for them to be warriors. I really think that. And I think we need to stop weakening our men. I don't know. You tell me before I lose
No,
all my listener base.
I think you just gained a lot of veteran listener bases as well. But no, you're absolutely correct. And a lot of the veterans I speak to have the same mindset, and the women that support them do that same thing. Like my wife, she's a superhero. She supports me in everything I do. And I tell her, honey, I'm going on deployment, and she knows that I'm working, and she knows what it was like. We met when I was in my sixth year in the military, and I did
Wow.
10. So she met me in the military, saw me when I got out. She was there when I fell. Her and her family supported me in the entrepreneurism world when I fell to keep my company open, and then I just kind of rebuilt it. Built it from here. But yeah, you need warriors. I have a 3-year-old daughter, a year and a half old daughter, and a brand new son who was born last week, right?
Wow,
And my daughter
congrats.
thanks. And my daughter's, and she's 3, and she when people start acting up or getting offended for something, and she says, "Don't be a sissy Lala." She because we're always saying, you gotta be tough. And we're reiterating that toughness. And so I really feel bad, and me and my wife and my best friend Zach, we always talk about her future boyfriends. I'm like, we're gonna set a really high standard for her. And so I don't know if I'm hurting her or helping her in the future.
Wow. I just think it's so powerful. And I think what you said, this mindset of waking up every day and saying, I'm willing to die today, is actually one that we should all have. I mean, think about the way you would go about your life. And well, you don't have to, but everybody listening, think about the way that you would go about your life knowing every choice you make, that, this could be the last one that you make.
Well,
How
you're
are you?
spot on. You're spot on with that. I wake up every day, and I wake up with that. I'm willing to die today, but what if I die today? Or what if I die tomorrow? Or instead of the I'm willing to, it's what if. And now it's I'm willing to lose everything to get to the next level because I know where we've been. My family supports me. We've all been, we've been broke. We've been to the point where we had to cash in our spare change to go get groceries, right? So
I've
me and my
been
wife,
there. I've been there.
right?
I
Right.
grew up in a 27-foot fifth wheel with no running water and no electricity in the rural Sierra Nevada, so I'm a little bit of a different species.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm
So
like
I'm
half caveman, so.
pretty much it's now, we have a beautiful house on top of a mountain that's 3 stories at 7,000 square feet, and it's just, it's incremental steps. And a lot of people look at success and look at happiness as I'm going to achieve it in one day. I'm going to win the lottery in one day. I'm going to do this. But if you create a plan and you think about those choices and every choice that you make, what if I were to die tomorrow? Am I willing to lose everything? How do I get better today? I wake up every day thinking, how do I get better today? How do I get better today? And run it through my competitors' faces over and over and over again. And if you listen to music, some of the biggest, celebrities and A-list hip hop singers, they sing about it all the time. They just do it over and over and over again. And no matter what they face, it's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in marriage. right? Everybody has their difficulties, but if you work through that difficulty every day, you think, how do we get better? How do I get better? How do we get better as a marriage? How do we get better as a business team? How do we get better as a football team? How do I get better as an individual? And it's incremental steps to get to your ultimate goal, but you have to have an ultimate goal in order to create success, because if you're just moving without a plan, then you're creating chaos. But if you're moving with a planned action, then you're moving towards success.
Wow, I love that. If you're moving toward with a planned action, I like that. I think a lot of times, and just to kind of circle back, I know we touched on this, but to just say it one more time, you know, people see you, I'm sure, with a 7,000 square foot home on a mountain and think, oh, look, this guy's got it all figured out, not knowing all the setbacks that you overcame to get there.
They don't know about the rat infested 1200 square foot house me, my wife and my daughter had to go back to from our 3000 square foot apartment because I made a mistake in LA and we had to go back to the desert that literally was rat infested. I was getting up in the morning, getting ready for work, and I opened the bathroom door and a rat literally jumped the fuck at me from the mirror right at my face. I was like, oh shit, I'm really glad that happened to me, not my wife. So they don't know about that. They don't know about, you know, me first going there, being broken into and sleeping on an air mattress and, you know, working out of there and rebuilding the business and figuring out how to feed my family, my wife, my daughter, figuring out how to pay the employees. One time I had to sell my quad, but that was one time I wasn't able to make payroll back in 2017. Ever since we've been able to make payroll. Now we're running a 70%, you know, profit ratio, which is unheard of. I have no investors and it's really incremental steps, you know, and then what do you want to do next? You know, I'm at a point in the business and company where I'm able to make a soft exit, but still maintain. And I'm starting another company called FLNP Training, where we're doing corporate training. I just signed a licensee agreement with Grant Cardone. I'm actually leaving Saturday to Miami to go hang out with him on his helicopter. Hang out and do mastermind and do a VIP one-on-one. I think there's like six other people in his jet on top of everything else we're doing. And then,
wow, that's really cool. So you're still in the field then of kind of aviation.
Yeah, no, I love aviation. Yeah, but no, I think those are just his private jets. It's more of a Grant Cardone's more of a sales trainer and gotcha. Entrepreneur and motivational. Those are just his toys he uses to brag and show off on social media all the time. Which I don't mind.
Well, if you gotta pick a hobby, I mean.
Right? If I had my jet, I'd do the same thing or when I have them. So I'm going there to learn because I've reached a point, you know, where I'm learning. I've only learned so much from my mentors, and I've traveled the world and I spoke to people worth, you know, seven figures to king or to princes in Africa to, I can't remember his name, to one time I was literally in a car for 90 minutes with Tonino Lamborghini, the founder of Lamborghini. Imagine that conversation, right?
And so I'm just teasing. Get it.
really fast. So going out there really just to learn and see how he got to being a billionaire and see how I can incorporate it into my business, into my personal life. One thing I very much so admire about the man is he's a family man and his family follows him everywhere. And that's one of the things I struggle with, right? Because when I travel, my family stays here. He has two girls. I have two girls and I just had a boy. So that's one of the things I'm trying to figure out. And I want to learn more how he does that. I'm pretty sure it's in his private jet though. He just takes himself.
I can imagine. That must be nice. I'm in the aviation world as well. So I but flying a 1947 Super Cruiser. So, certainly not a jet. Hey, I'm looking at your book cover and I just got to tell you. So, you know, I own a firearm. I have a CCW. Target practice for many reasons, many, many reasons. Self-defense being one. Also because, you know, I just want to be prepared for the apocalypse. When the physical domination part of this madness starts, I want to be on my game. I'm also looking into some machete training. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
I have machetes, 3 years worth of food and water and a stockpile of And I have about 30 or 40 deer that live on my property because you're not allowed to hunt in the HOA I'm on. I'm on a 25,000 HOA, so all the deer and elk flock to one property.
That's
So
funny. You're like, cool. We just got our meat supply.
it's right.
That's wild. What I was gonna say is, the imagery on the front with the gun up to the head, obviously a lot of people would feel very kind of uncomfortable with that, What are your thoughts on that? Well, how do you feel about the
Point.
book cover and all that?
That's the point. Make them feel uncomfortable because that's why there's the salute in the uniform, right? And the screaming and then the gun to the head. Because every veteran I've ever talked to, when it's a one-on-one opening up conversation, they've either contemplated suicide or have a failed suicide attempt.
Wow.
And there's
Wow.
22 veterans that commit suicide a day. I have, a failed suicide attempt that is detailed very vividly in the book. So
Wow.
it's a mix of fiction and nonfiction. The story between David and Mayumi is a story. It's all true story between me and my wife, Chicago. And then a few bits and pieces here of out of my personal life. The suicide story is absolutely true. And then so that's the point. It's an eye catcher, an eye grabber. You want people to think what is this about? And what it really does is it taps into the veteran's mind of what really goes on, so they can get through it, so they know they're not alone, and so the family members or their loved ones know how to handle them a little bit better.
I love that. And being a psychotherapist in the mental health world, I was recently sharing with a client that what it's some crazy number. I think it's like 6 seconds is all it takes to shift the mind away from the suicidal thought. And so survivors of attempted suicide attempts have described that feeling of regret almost instantly.
I remember waking up, and it's in the book. It's detailed in the book. I remember waking up to pounding on the door and stumbling out of the bathroom, right, in my underwear, and I was like, who the fuck's at the door? I didn't do anything wrong. And my exact thought was, like, actually, who the fuck's at the door? I didn't do anything wrong. I just tried to kill myself, but nobody knows. And it was two
Wow.
cops. Yeah,
Wow.
two cops were at the door. And they were like, "Hey man, we got a call just to do a health and welfare check." And he's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Can I put a shirt on?" I remember I'm like, "Can I put a shirt on? I'll be right back." And I came back, and I remember that exact feeling. So thankful to be alive. I remember being thankful I was at the bottom and the rock bottom. And I remember being so thankful and happy that someone actually fucking cared about me. And that's the day my goal became to express that to others and to the veteran community. And that's been my goal since. And that happened on August 12th, 2014, August 13th, is when I woke up, and I haven't stopped since, and I don't plan on it.
Wow, that's heavy. That's super heavy, and it's also very honorable. And I think it's really amazing that you found this path to be able to help people. I think about the homeless population that we have in California alone, and the astounding percentage is like 60 some odd percent are war veterans or military vets.
So I had an office when I lived in LA. It was downtown. I can't remember what building it was in. It was like one of those executive suites you can rent inside a building. And one day I had a bad day, and I was in my suit, and I was walking downtown, and I was just talking to homeless guys. And I talked to 10 homeless guys, homeless, and out of the 10, 8 of them were vets. And that's the day I started the nonprofit for veterans by veterans, and I didn't realize how hard the nonprofit world is.
Yeah, it is. I have a nonprofit as well. So I do. I know that dance that you have to do there and the red tape and or yellow tape or whatever color the tape is, but there's a lot of it. So I can totally relate to that. So your book is called Don't Shoot Your Future Self. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about it real quick?
It's a story about a veteran who gets out of the military. His name's David Little, and he loses a job, and he's just kind of at that rock end, right? And the suicide version's in there. And then he's just kind of scrolling through Facebook. He had lost his job and he had woke up the next day and he sees this ad and he clicks on this ad for free business consulting, no strings attached. And through that, he meets this mentor called Ralph Power. You can edit, right?
Yes, I can edit. Okay. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. It's 23. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
All right. So he meets his mentor, Ralph Power, and through the guidership of the meetings of Ralph and the support of his girlfriend, Mayumi, and facing the challenges that veterans face, he was able to choose paths that he wants. He was able to see what was going on with himself and work to get better and to achieve, get enough money in the account. That was a shitty description. You want me to start over? It's difficult. I'll tell you why it's difficult for me to talk about the book, because Power is not my original name, right?
I changed
my name to Power because of the man. Ralph Power. He was my first client when I was ready to give up. When I was ready to go back to my job. Sorry.
No, you're doing great. Thank you for sharing.
When I was working full time, going to school full time, taking these consults full time, and I had just raised my price to like $1,000. I was like, on my last call, and I was ready to give up, and I remember thinking, this guy's name, I was gonna cancel. But this guy's name, just something about his name, Ralph Power, something told me to call him. And I was like, he's not going to sign up. He's not going to do anything anyways. There's no reason I should call him, but something told me to, right? And through the call, through the console, I was like, I am. Through the call, through the console, I was like, I am 100% certain he can help you. And this is my, right? I told him it was like $1,000 at the time. Ready to quit my job. Or ready to quit this, ready to stop, ready to go back to the corporate world, which I was still working. I was going to school full time. He was the first person to say yes. And he was the first person where I closed that first $1,000. Consequently, he was the most difficult client I ever had. And before he died last year in COVID, we weren't able to help him. Like the VA, we did everything we could, and he was just one of those guys. The VA just kept saying no, 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 no. I had all the paperwork 100% correct. I've done it for other clients, and it's just the guy at the VA was just like, no, I don't even want to look at it. And just in 1 or 2 days, it was denied. He ended up giving up. But from that time, I was opening my business, my first partner, and this is one of the downs of entrepreneurship. My first partner, his name was Jason. He had 50% of the company. One day he just didn't come in to work, right? We had gone out to Houston for a business trip, came back. He had come in for work. Just something popped up video. He didn't come in for work. I was at the DMV. I got bad feeling, went racing over to his house, pounding on the door. No answers. I ended up kicking the door in because his car was there and he was dead on the floor from suicide.
Right? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so after that, I kind of lost my shit that day. I had to go back to the company. We had like 4 people at the time. I told him what happened and I had to go deal with that with the police, with his wife. He was going through a divorce at the time. Deal with that. Then go back home. And the next month I couldn't really be in the company. I said, hey, I got to go. I'm just going to go work remotely, and kind of really wasn't paying attention. That was one of the reasons I had so many problems. But I went and met Ralph, and this is kind of described in this, in the book. He was a big, ended up being a big entrepreneur out of Florida. He had ran a chain of, restaurants, is, you know, now there's only two in Panama City Beach, Florida, called them the American Diner. And I ended up staying, my wife had a nail event to go to. She's a professional nail artist, right? And so I ended up staying there. We were only going to stay a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, but I felt so at home and at peace. I just ended up staying there for about 2 months, with this man on his 1,000-acre ranch that, you know, he had. And it was gorgeous. There's pig, there's deer, there's a pond. And for 2 months, I just sat with him, you know, and we developed this really close relationship over the years. And we went back and visit, and he actually, you know, the one day, you know, he said, if you want to change your last name, you can. And sorry.
You're okay. You're okay. You're in good hands here.
Yeah.
You know, I just think as you're speaking, you know, what I'm really just picking up on more than anything is the emotion surrounding, the emotion and the passion surrounding how you got where you got. And, you know, I think it's just really a beautiful thing that we have these things that happen to us in our life, and it's not the events that occur, but it's what we do with them. And really, truly, you've created a legacy for Ralph. You know, you've created something for him to live on, and not only live on, but his energy to continue to flow throughout and help a lot of other people. And that's just really a very beautiful thing.
Yes, ma'am. And then, you know, and when all that all happened, it was amazing. And last year in COVID, I was supposed to go out to see him, and the day I was supposed to get there, he had cancer, right? The day I was supposed to get there, I couldn't go because of COVID, because of the lockdown. But that night when he went, and that's when we were starting the book, and it just, everything, like in April is when he died, in April was when we started the book, you know?
Wow.
It just flowed. Everything just flowed out. Sorry.
You know, have you considered that perhaps,
sorry,
you know, I'm not suggesting that it's great that in any way that it's good that the ending was the way that the ending was, but do you think that perhaps you offered him something that allowed him some closure, and that, you know what I mean? Like in a positive way?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. And one of the things we, like in the book, he tells David, if you have any daughters, the middle names have to be Lynn after his wife, Linda. Right. And both my girls, their middle names, Lynn, just like, you know, the one, thing he had, but I think it is a very positive way because, it's bringing light to what he went through, what I went through, what all veterans go through. And if we stick together, and if there's like that one veteran that makes it, right, that does make it to that 1%, well, how can he spread that knowledge down to other veterans to help them do it for themselves? And that's really what we're creating. That's between the book and the online series we're working on, and the podcast we're working on, and the mentoring with the 1%, and going out with Craig, and going out with Grant. It's really, how can we take this information and this value and spread it to the veterans out there so they can do the same thing for themselves?
Wow. You know, I read this awesome book, and I think it's a good time to share it for anybody who might be listening and have experienced heartache and pain and be feeling those emotions, just hearing your emotions.
Yeah.
It's called You Are Here, and it's by Thich Nhat Hanh, and he's such a fabulous being, you know, ascended spirit, really. And he talks a lot about his experiences of Vietnam vet and, you know, then becoming a Buddhist monk. And it's really powerful. So I think, you know, putting these words out there and helping people transform and transcend is just such a beautiful thing. So I commend you.
I absolutely want to read that book because when I spent 8 years in Japan, while I was in the military, I spent many times at Buddhist temples, speaking with Buddhist monks and learning how to meditate, learning what meditation actually is and how to control your mind. I remember sitting in this temple in Kamakura, one of the biggest Buddhist temples there are. It has a giant statue of Buddha, and I had sat there for a couple of days. And just because I was going through some stuff and I was, going through my first divorce, and this guy came out and he's like, "I see you here." He had a translator, this young girl that was with him. I think she was in high school, and she was translating. And it's like, "You think you know you're meditating out here, but do you know what meditation actually is? Do you know how to control the mind?" It's like, "No, I understand you're in the military." And learning how what meditation is playing those pathways out in your head and seeing how it makes you feel, and then choosing one and going down that action. So I'm really interested in that book. And my wife's Buddhist, I'm Buddhist as well. We have everything around our house is either Buddhist or angels or anything like that. So I'm very interested in it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a quick read and it's profound. I mean, if I have to recommend one book to people, if I get 1 second to recommend one book, that's the one I recommend. I mean, and then we could start talking about Carolyn Miss, Anatomy of Spirit, and Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Becoming Supernatural. I mean, so many people that, if we just take that moment to connect with, really, they are the enlightened of our time, and that's spectacular. We have many Jesus Christ living today. We have many
I
Buddhas living
100%
today.
believe that. I 100% believe that.
Wow. Listen, people can get a hold of you via your website, as one thing. And let's see, what is your website? We always include it in the show notes, but don'tshootyourfutureself.com and Veteran Disability Help. So also, ladies, I know this podcast is like 90% you, but I know there are men in your life, and women in your life. If you know a vet who could benefit from this podcast, please share this episode. Let's spread the word and help people get the help that they need.
And can I mention something to your listeners as well?
No, of course you can. Yes, you may.
No, if you have a veteran boyfriend, husband, and you're worried about him and he won't open up to you, just hug him. That's all he needs. Just hug him until he opens up.
Wow, I love that. Physical touch, so powerful. And just to kind of add on to that, 20-second hug releases all those amazing oxytocin endorphins that just vibe us up. So beautiful suggestion. And again, thank you so much, Eric, for coming on today, the BU Find Happy Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been a BU Find Happy Podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.